And this is the plan. There you go. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. So God has a plan. He's going to bring everything under the authority of Christ. That's the destination. God has it. Mankind cannot alter that. God is working things out. It does not matter how sinful people are, or sinful governments, or sinful nations, or sinful leaders. God is going to work it all out and bring it into a destination. You say, well, wait a minute, Pastor Paul. Doesn't he have his own ability of free choice? That's true. That is true. How would that work? Well, I happen to have a little illustration. My balloon here. Let's demonstrate. So let's just say that everything within this balloon, mankind has complete free will. Inside that balloon, there's COVID. There is uprising. There is civility. There are nations. There's man's choice. But it's all there within that confine is free will. But God is the one who's in control, and he's going to make sure that everything is going in the direction that he wants it to go. Ultimately, it's all going where he wants it to go. We could literally say, what will the future hold? Man, just take a big breath and relax. Now, how mankind operates in that free will domain, that does affect the comfort of our journey. No doubt about that. But everything there, God's going to make sure it arrives at its destination. That's important for us. So if you really believe that this planet is spinning out of control and that man is the only one that has control, that humanity is in control, you will suffer from fear of the future. You will suffer with fear for your life, because you're going to constantly think, where's the sovereignty of God? And I'm telling you, God is in control. God is in control. I have recognized, God's already said how everything's going to end up in the book. So let's breathe in. Let's relax. We know where it's going. We cannot say, oh, where is it all going to end up? No, we know. If you really believe that, it's going to be great. So as we look at the sovereignty of God, that he's in control, that God has a plan, then let her see, grow in your understanding of God. That's important. Dear Christian, grow in your understanding of God. God wants you to understand him. It's his desire. Anything you and I do not understand, it causes fear. Isn't that true? You start a new job. I don't know what they're anticipating. I don't know if I should do it. I'm a little bit fearful. God wants you to know him. That's his desire. When you're confused, fear comes. What does God say about us knowing him, or what we should be aware of? Let's take a look. I'm in Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. Check it out with me. This is what the Lord says, Jeremiah 9, 23 says. Don't let the wise boast in their wisdom, or the powerful boast in their power, or the rich boast in their riches, but those who wish to boast should boast in this alone, that they truly know me and understand that I am the Lord, who demonstrates unfailing love and who brings justice and righteousness to the earth, and that I delight in these things. Well, that's pretty important. God has an opinion. That opinion is, let me just tell you, I want you to know me. I truly want you to understand me. I delight in these elements about myself. How do we grow in that understanding? Well, it's very easy. It's very easy. You hear it all the time. It is this: follow him. Follow him. If you're going to experience Almighty God, follow him. I love this part of my journey, this time in my life, because I have a full reservoir of knowing that as I follow God, I understand a little more about him and my relationship to him. It's wonderful. You can read about somebody and say, oh, I think I know their patterns. You can study certain elements of great generals of the Civil War. But there's something about knowing a person because you hang out with them, because you dwell with them, you walk with them. That's the beauty of when we start our Wednesday church service, when we talk about the afterflow. It's one thing to study about gifts of the Spirit. It's another thing to journey with the Holy Spirit and say, I think the Holy Spirit wants me to go and be a part of this person's healing or this person's help. Wow, that's pretty powerful. You get to know that. We're even going to have Mel Torre come in a couple of weeks. I love what Mel said. He's the one that wrote the book, Like a Mighty Wind. He said that Christians, they don't need a calling. They need a kick in the pants. So we're going to be taking a look at how to get ourselves relating to God and experiencing God, not just reading about God. God wants us to know Him, because when we experience Him and know Him, it gives us courage, does it not? God was saying during this crazy time of the pandemic, what He was saying to you, Christian, what He was saying to you, Christians, is that all eyes on me. That's what He was saying. Simple put, all eyes on me. So we take a look here. Number two, do not put your trust in humanity. We're dealing with facing our fear of the future. So it's going to be important on this point. It's going to be vital, because fear of the future can often put our hopes and confidence in humanity. People get desperate. People have desperation, and they start to panic, and they never sit down to look at maybe a promise in God. They never really want to speak to spiritual direction or advice. So they start looking for humanity. And isn't it true? Humanity's been speaking to all of us, saying, trust us. Trust us. Hey, if you will let me be a part of your life, your future will be okay. That's literally what humanity is saying. Trust us. It happens when people put their hope in political leadership. If we just get the right leader in there, our future will be okay. And that's why people hang on to every word of a particular person politically, even putting our hopes then all of a sudden in medical solutions. Well, I sure like medical solutions. I'm not saying don't take advantage of those things. But if we put our complete trust in some form of cure or vaccine or breakthrough, and we're not putting our confidence in the Lord, boy, that's going to just bring in an element of fear of the future. People are putting their hopes in the right educational leaders. Are they making the right decisions regarding our children? Are they making the right decisions when it comes to areas that involve our family? How about our judicial? Our hope in our judicial system, we somehow get the right people in those seats, then all of a sudden we know our judicial system will be fair and just. Can you see how our humanity is just saying, trust us. If you bring us into focus, if you let us come on in, you can trust us there. God is saying, boy, I want you to trust me. I want you to see me. God's perspective is very clear when it comes to trusting man versus trusting Him. You want to see it? I do. Let's take a look. It's in Jeremiah 17, verse 5, and then skip to verse 7. Check it out with me. This is what the Lord says. That starts with verse 5. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord. Skip down to verse 7. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. That's our point. Do not put your trust in humanity. There's a curse there, the Word of God says. If you look at verse 6 in that same text, it says, man, those who put their trust in humanity, they're going to be like a shrub in the desert. Have you ever been out to Desert Center here in California? Have you ever been to Mojave Desert? I mean, there's a bottle brush here or there. It's a shrub in the desert. That's what God's trying to describe. That person's going to be shriveled up. And verse 6 says they won't even know when good comes. They won't be able to see it. They can't contain it. They're not able to comprehend it. It's amazing. And then it just says that they're going to inherit something, but it's going to be parched places in the wilderness. So let's be careful about that. There's nothing wrong in wanting the desired, right, good leader wherever we go. Nothing wrong with that. But misplaced trust in humanity, God says, watch out, be careful. So how do we know if we're putting all of our hope, all of our trust in these areas, hoping the right person gets in there? Well, you can tell because there's something of the internal element within you and me. How do we feel when that person or that project led by humanity fails us? Do you have that element of much fear, and are you completely feeling devastated? Is there devastation that's happening? Now, there's nothing wrong with emotions because it's a part of life, but we have to be careful. Don't allow your feelings to dictate your direction. That's devastating. That is devastating. You never allow your emotions to cause you to react as a Christian. It can tell you, though, that there's something going on internally, but be careful about that because those indicators are just that, indicating something's going on, something isn't quite right. When we put our trust in people, humanity, and it lets us down. Man, here's a couple of examples. How about our past two presidential elections? You say, oh, ooh, Pastor Paul's going there. Are you going? I am going there. How about when President Trump was elected in 2016? The anguish on the political side was off the charts craziness. And then all of a sudden, President Biden is elected in 2020. The anguish now on the other political side of the spectrum, complete off the charts, when people were recognizing that the wrong person in their perspective was now in control of things. Our hope being in a political system, our hope being in a political person. God says, don't let that happen. Be careful about that. The biggest issue is misplaced trust in humanity. God says, don't do that. If you do, you're going to have a constant fear of the future, constant fear for your life. Watch out, watch out. Be careful. So, why is it a big deal to put your trust in humanity? That would be a great question. So I'm going to try to answer that for you so that you're not sending me these cards and letters and emails saying what's wrong with people that are even godly. Let's take a look. Letter A, humanity is sinful and broken. There it is. Let's look at Jeremiah 17:9. We were just there. Can you see that with me? Let's see what God says. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? So it's interesting. God's not, his assessment really is for us, it's don't be offended, is that we're basically broken people. We are completely flawed, every one of us. I'm sorry. That's God's assessment of humanity. And it's important for us because he's saying, why would I put trust in humanity when it's broken and it's flawed? You're going to come up and feel so sorrowful. Put your trust in me. Where could a change might happen? Let Jesus transform that person. Let Jesus transform you. That's the only hope for humanity. We are so flawed. Well, you say, well, Pastor Paul, people can change. Well, listen, please understand, not without a miracle. People do not change. God's word is very clear on that. Unless Jesus comes and transforms a person, nothing changes. Now, I have 11 grandchildren. I get the biggest laughs out of them. They do some of the most unusual childlike things. But one thing I don't laugh at is when they tell me, no, Grandpa. I'm called Grandpa or Grand Paul. How's that? I like that. I like Pastor Paul. I like Dad. Grandpa, no. So, hey, I'll grab one of my adult children. Do you know what this little cute grandchild said to me? They said, no. Are you teaching your child this? Oh, Dad, we are not. And that's true. It comes natural to the human nature. No, I'm not going to do that. Well, that's a whole nother journey. Maybe we'll bring that up, the fear of parenting, in next week's episode. Let's take a look, though, because it's important. It's amazing to me how the human heart never really changes. Boy, I've got some old relatives. They were ornery cusses when they were about in their 40s. Now you add another 40 to them, and they're even more ornerier and full of cuss words. It's amazing. Do they ever change? Are you kidding me? Unless God transforms the person. And I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I just want you to know, the heart of sinful humanity will always be influenced with a desire for money, a desire for power, and a control over others. It doesn't change. That's why God says, cursed is the person that puts their trust in humans. Be careful about that. People think humanity is basically good. Friends, oh friends, please understand, we are not evolving into better people. Just want to throw it out there. It's obvious to all of us, but our trust needs to be in Almighty God, in His sovereignty. Letter B, humanity is powerless to predict the future. That's another reason why we don't want to trust humanity. Let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Look at verse 13. Ecclesiastes, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, says, fools base their thoughts on foolish assumptions. So their conclusions will be wicked madness. They chatter on, and no one really knows what is going to happen. No one can predict the future. Now, humanity is powerless to predict the future. That's one of the reasons why. Why would you put all of your hope in the future in humanity that cannot predict the future? Now, that's important. And remember when COVID started? Hey, everybody, gather around. We're all going to go into our homes, lock it down tight for 14 days because we're going to really drop that curve. I'm going to lower that curve. 14 days, nobody breathes outside, nobody goes anywhere, everything complete shutdown. Well, it's amazing because false predictions about COVID, false predictions about politics, false predictions about the economy, those things, nobody predicts the future. There's only one who holds the future, knows the future, controls the future. Put your trust in the sovereignty of God. He's there. He's there. That's important for us to recognize that. The longer we know that, mankind doesn't even know how to predict the weather. Why don't we just turn our hearts toward God? Letter C, humanity is temporary. It's another reason. Why would you put your trust in your future with somebody that is here today, but tomorrow they're not? They're gone tomorrow. That's important for us. Isaiah 2, verse 2 says this, don't put your trust in mere humans. They are as frail as breath. What good are they? Now, God's not demeaning His own creation. He's just saying, the point is, what good is it to put your trust in humans that are, again, here today, and the old saying, gone to Maui. It's fun to go to Maui. But anyway, here today and gone tomorrow. It's important for us. That's important. Our lifespan is so short. Our bodies are so frail. It doesn't take much to undo a person. It really doesn't take much. From God's perspective, to put your trust into somebody that will not be here even tomorrow, why do that to yourself? God is saying, I am the all-powerful one. I hold your future. I will take you from point A to point B. I will do that for you. Trust me, God says. Can you hear Him say that to you? When everybody else is removed, everybody's gone, I will still be there for you. That's what God is saying. That's why we want to put our trust in the sovereignty of God. So let's just pause for a moment. You might ask yourself, am I putting my trust in man? You want to take a look. Ask yourself that. Am I? I've often said you can tell a person how much they have confidence even in themselves by how much they pray. If you pray very little, you have got some confidence in yourself or maybe what other people will help you do. But let's deal with this fear of ours of the future. Number three, let God transform you, finally. It's important for us. You've heard me say and address Romans chapter 12, verse 2. it says this: don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Now, the world's continually inviting us and pulling us in, try to conform us to its behavior or to its customs. You know it. I know it. There's always something that's appealing. It's whatever you navigate yourself toward to shop around to see what the latest fashion is. There's always something to try to conform even the Christians. Be careful about that. I like this verse because God is offering another way. Let God transform you. Let God transform you. How does that work? Well, you start to become a new person by the way you start to think. God will change you on the inside. Religion will not touch the inside of you. You can try all kinds of formalities and forms, but let God touch you. Let the Word of God transform you. How does that work? What does that look like? Because you want God to affect your thinking, because you'll be able to understand His future for you. You will not fear the future for sure. It's an amazing thing to be a Christian and to have God change your thinking. I love it. It's a miracle for me. It's a miracle for so many others. They don't fear the future anymore. It's like God is in control. Letter A, limit your exposure to negative influence. This is how. How do we do that? How do we let God change or transform our lives? Start here. Just some crazy element, but let's check it out. Yeah, let's get specific. You who are addicted to the news, I want to talk to you for a moment. And you know who you are. Keep looking straight ahead. Don't nudge that person next to you. You are addicted to the news. You can tell because you set your whole schedule around wanting to see the news that day. You work hard to have the television on while you eat a meal. Matter of fact, you even work everything you can to basically make sure you hear the news or you panic. You go all FOMO on me. You just start foaming at the mouth. FOMO, it's an acronym for you just got the fear of missing out. You just got to hear. You got to understand. You got to know about certain things. Check out what Colossians chapter 2, verse 8 says. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that comes from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. Check that out for a moment. Would you see that? Isn't it interesting? I just described empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense. Doesn't that describe the news to you? Sure does to me. It's important because it comes from human thinking, that's what the verse says, and from demonic influence. Why would anyone want a dose of that stuff coming to them? Be careful about that. Now, I love you guys and gals, and thank you for your constant information that hey, you've been following us, you've been taking a look at, you've been tracking this series, but I do care what you do and what you take a hold of. That when we are constantly stirred to agitation and anxiety, you can see that maybe you're spending way too much time watching the news. Be careful about that. Stop that. Literally, I'd like to just say, even the social media thing. Now, I know so many of you have to work the social media because that's your form of connecting with your family, but be careful. Be careful. Those things that you feel more enriched and loved with Jesus once you spend the hour to 6 hours on that social media, be careful about that. Sometimes you walk in family settings and everybody's on their tablet or smartphone because they have to kind of continue to feed on negative elements. It's almost like into sugar and sweets. You just have to get a little bit more. Here's my challenge to you. I would like to see you fast 30 days from media or news, especially the news. You know, the news just, it works so hard to see what the public longs to read or longs to watch. My challenge, 30 days, no news, no news. I'll guarantee after 30 days, you're going to find something. You'll be so much more at peace. You do what I do now. I kind of read the headlines. I realize, man, those are the same headlines, same things, same address. I'll pick up what I thought, okay, let's see what's happening in the Middle East. But it's the same stuff, same reporting, because they know you're going to click on or follow or read. But be careful about that. Who wants to be captured by a bunch of emptiness that's worldly in its content and even produced by demonic elements? Watch out. Be careful about that. Walk away from that. You'll find you don't really need it. You'll be at peace. Let's do that. 30 days without watching the news. You say, well, Pastor Paul, don't we need to be, you know, caught up or aware of what's happening? Yeah, there's ways to do that, but it's just a 30-day challenge. That's all it is. And then you come to Hope Chapel on Wednesday, and you get into an extra church service. Let's get live worship going on here. Let's understand how to operate, know God, moving in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Man, I'm excited about that. And finally, letter B. We've got to wrap this up. Increase your exposure for transformation. Remember, let God transform your life. And it just simply, three ways, it's something we are all about, and that is God's truth. Get into God's truth. Well, I'd say just read the Bible. Get a 30-day reading plan. Even get the YouVersion of that Bible app. You can do that. You're into apps, go for it. 30-day reading plan. That's all. Just try it. No news media. 30 days. The other one, God's people. Get with God's people. Man, come on Sunday. Come on Wednesday. You're going to have more time on your hands to get around God's people. The church is called ekklesia. It really means that Greek word, called out from society to gather frequently for a common purpose. Ekklesia. That's what Jesus called us. Isn't that amazing? We are called out from society. Get with other Christians. And finally, God's way. Follow God. Live the way He wants you to. You know the way. It's just very simple to just know the right way. God chooses the way to live, have you live, and to enjoy Him. Boy, it's going to be a great experience. Well, I'm excited because we're believing that fear of the future that we have all brushed shoulders with is going away because we are dealing with our awareness and understanding of God. Oh, He loves you so much. He wants to bless you. He wants to make sure you're not stressed or worried. Why? He's in control. He's in control. Let's trust Him completely, even right now. Would you take a moment and just pray this simple little prayer with me? It's once again putting our complete trust in Jesus as our Savior and Lord. That Lord means, God, what you say goes. Whatever you want, I'm willing. But it's a heart condition, is it not? Let God transform you right now. This prayer goes simply like this. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Are you praying that with me? Good, thank you. Dear Jesus, I believe in you, that you are the Savior of the world. And this moment, I make you my Lord and Savior. Lord, remove the sins of my life. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I believe that you've now come into my life to stay forever. I'm going to live for you, Almighty God. I'm going to move according to your will and design. And you're going to reveal that to me. And thank you for the peace that passes all understanding right now. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer, would you go ahead and shoot me an email at office@hopechapelhb.org? Let me know what you just did. We'd love to get you a Bible. Now that you're a Christian pamphlet, we'd love to get you started. Water baptisms are going to be happening here. And definitely the infilling of the Holy Spirit happening on June the 2nd here. Would you consider coming, being a part of? Sure do love and value what God's made you and me to journey together. Don't you feel so privileged to be these times right now together as sons and daughters of the Most High God? Let's tell everybody about Jesus. Go bless somebody by telling them God loves them. God bless you. We love you too. Bye for now. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe? Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.